Hi, everybody. It is Rita with Happy Being Well. I am always excited to introduce our exciting guest for today. But before we dive deep with our exciting guest, we're going to introduce our sponsor for the show, which is happybeingwell.com, your place for stylish, comfortable, and unique yoga leggings at an affordable price, along with crystals, natural candles, natural soaps, and more self-care products at happybeingwell.com, and enroll into the email subscription for 10% off all products. All right, without further ado, we have Kurt Powers today with us, and he is a personal trainer, personal development coach, and a hypnotherapist. So Kurt, welcome to the show.
Rita, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being here today, Kurt. Really excited to share with us your journey of transformation and your golden nuggets and wisdom with our audience today. So tell us, like, what made you to become a personal trainer, a personal development coach, and a hypnotherapist?
Okay, well, becoming a personal trainer was something I knew. I actually didn't know that's what it was called, a personal trainer. But when I was 14 or 15 years old, when I was in eighth grade, we had a PE class or a gym class, and weightlifting was a class that we were being taught. The moment I picked up a weight for the first time, I fell in love. Like, I knew this was a love that I had, and I wanted to do this. And it didn't take long before I realized this is what I want to do for a living. This would be so amazing to be able to lift weights and make a living out of this. And so I knew I always wanted to own a gym. I didn't know about training people individually the way it turned out. It just became more profitable to do that. But I knew I was going to own a gym. So I'm 14, 15 years old, and through my teenage years, I have all these plans that I wrote down about how I'm going to open my gym, what it's going to look like, the music I'm going to play, what the air conditioning setting was on. I had it completely envisioned, my boards up there that were going to motivate people and all that, of what my gym was going to be like. Of course, you know, you can always think you know what it's going to be like, and then reality's quite different at times. So, but I did exactly that. And I was very fortunate to know early on what I wanted to do with my life. And so that's what I've been doing for all these years, is being a personal trainer. And I own my own studio now as well, as I've owned many gyms over the years. And just, I've been enjoying life and doing exactly what I love to do. Now, how did I become a personal development coach and a hypnotherapist? I realized early on in my career as a personal trainer that in order to get people to stick to the things that I was teaching them, they were going to have to change their mindset. And I understood that came from the subconscious mind. And the best way to reach the subconscious mind is through hypnosis. And so I wanted to learn how to do hypnosis so I could integrate hypnosis along with the personal training. And because of that, I've had great success with clients who, especially when it comes to losing weight, a lot of weight, and having them keep that weight off for years and years, and still have, you know, keep it off to this day. And they're still active, where, you know, beforehand, that wasn't even something they would have considered. So changing that mindset is everything whenever you're setting out to do anything. And the personal development coach came from me having to change who I was. Your show is a lot about self-love and getting that mindset to love yourself and to care about yourself the way you should. And what I found was that I didn't love myself. And I wasn't taking care of myself the way I should, at least not emotionally and not mentally. And so while physically I was, I looked great, and, on the outside, everybody would think I would have had everything together. The truth of the matter was that I was far from it. And the reason was, is because no one knew that I was gay, and I was in the closet for many years. And so I didn't love myself because I was told I couldn't love myself. I wasn't supposed to love myself. I was raised in a very religious family. And, you know, of course, when you're raised in a religious family, you go to church and most of your friends are from that church and your peers. And so you're amongst these people who you love, and you think to yourself, if these people only knew who I was, it would destroy who they think I am and destroy their opinion of me, and they wouldn't love me anymore. So you stay in that closet because you don't want to lose these people that you love so dearly. And so when you're doing that, you're lying to yourself. You're not being your authentic self. You're not accepting yourself for who you are because you've been taught not to do that. And so you stay in this closet. And, you know, the truth is that there are many people out there who live in the closet. Women live in the closet at times because you're told that you're supposed to look a certain way, or you're supposed to behave in a certain way. You're supposed to grow up and want kids. You're supposed to want to raise a family. You're supposed to want to get married. And there are women out there who don't have a desire to do any of those things, and yet will do it because that's what's expected of them. You know, and same goes for, you know, people of different races. You know, there's so many people out there who are told that, you know, if you come from a family of doctors, well, you have to be a doctor. You have to go to school to become a doctor. Well, what if that person doesn't want to be a doctor, but they're, you know, they feel forced to do that because that's, you know, as you had said earlier, before the show, you know, these are defaults that are set up, that we're supposed to behave in this certain way, and we don't get to be honest and true to who we are, and therefore we're not happy. So with that being said, I realized that I in order for me to be able to be happy, I had to be who I was and accept that. And you know, that's not always an easy thing to do for anyone. And so I learned how not just to say I love myself, which, you know, I said throughout my life, but didn't show it. I had to learn how to love myself. And that's where I think most people miss the boat. They think that if they just say it enough, like positive affirmation, I love myself, you know, darn it, I'm cute, I'm good looking, I'm smart, and I love myself. And that's not enough. You really have to take stock of who you are, and you have, above anything else, you have got to be honest with yourself.
So that is a really great point, and it's so, so true. It's, you know, it's very easy to manipulate ourselves without consciously being aware of it. You know, we live in a society filled with illusions. So, you know, being like, you know, with everyone's aware now that when we open up magazines, that the women are airbrushed and it's not really 100% an accurate representation of what they really look like, in terms of their figures or their skin. It can be altered for, you know, to achieve this perfection. So we're living in a society like that. Of course, it's very easy to go into, to program ourselves to kind of create some kind of illusionary effect, way of thinking to fit the mold of what we're around. It's all around us. So that being said, how does one get honest with themselves? How do we unravel that?
For me, this is what I teach people, because this is what I had to do with myself. And this is why I find a lot of people don't do it, because it's hard. It's simple, but it's hard. And I always say, the simple things always seem to be the hardest things for some reason. So I take stock of myself, and that's what I did. I took stock of myself, and I looked at the things that I liked about myself, and I made a list of all the things I liked about myself, all the good qualities that I go, you know what, you're a good person because of this, this, and this. And then I took stock of the things I didn't like so much. And I go, these are the things that I don't like about myself, and I need to start changing those things and getting rid of those things that aren't productive for me as a person. And there's a lot of ugliness there sometimes, and people don't like to see the ugliness, and so they don't want to look, and that's what makes it challenging for people. Now, in saying that, when you're making that list of what it is that you love about yourself and what it is that you're not so fond of, make sure that the list of the things that you're not fond of are because you're not fond of them, not because your parents are not fond of them, your religious leaders aren't fond of them. And that was one of the things. I didn't like that I was gay. That, you know, I mean, honest to goodness, I remember doing things that put my health at risk. I fasted for 5 days with no food, no water, nothing for 5 days. Because I wanted to change, because that's what I was told to do. You had to pray, you had to fast, you had to, you know, you had to do all these things in order for God to love you and in order for you to change from being gay to straight. And that, you know, back in those days when I was young, I would have done anything to be straight. I did not want to be gay. And you know, I remember thinking, if there was one pill in this world that could make me straight, I don't care if it cost $1 million. I would beg, borrow, steal. I would do whatever I had to do to find a way to get that pill so I could be straight. Because no one wants to be different. Not when, especially when you're a teenager. You want to be like everybody else. And you know, and nowadays you couldn't pay me $1 million to become straight. I love who I am, but it wasn't that way. And so I didn't like being gay, but I realized when I took stock that I don't like being gay, not because I don't like it, but because people told me I'm not supposed to like it. So when you take stock of that, make sure it's something that you don't like, not whether your parents like it, or again, like I said, your brothers or sisters, your friends, whatever. It has to be something that you're being honest with. If you like what you're doing and no one else likes it, tough. Do it, you know, then put that over into the like category. So that's the beginning steps of it. Now the next part of it is understanding that when you say I love myself, that your actions have to match up with your words. Too often I see people who say they love themselves and their actions show they do not. We see this often with people who, with this body positivity movement that's out there. And while I think you should be able to love yourself regardless of what you look like, what your weight is, you know, what your sex is, anything else, I think that if there's something that you know is harmful to you, it's hard for me to believe that you love yourself if you're allowing yourself to be harmed. If you wouldn't allow that action to take place on someone else that you love, like let's say your child, and yet you're willing to tolerate it, then you don't love yourself. Your actions show that you don't. And anytime we're content with being in a place that we know isn't healthy for us, or mentally, physically, emotionally, then we're not doing the things that would show that we love ourselves for in reality.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Totally, totally agree. So that being said, how does one start loving themselves? You mentioned, you know, just realizing where it's coming from, which is from an external place, like societal institutions being, you know, religion, school, peers, parents. So once they recognize that it's not a real inner belief or an inner actual natural feeling, it's actually coming from an outside source due to societal standards. So then what's the next step from there? Does it just happen naturally once you recognize that it's coming from an outside source and it's not what you really, truly feel?
Yeah, for some people, I think it's a little easier than others. I think some have to work at it. But once you realize that the only way you're ever going to be happy is to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So accept who you are, accept who your real self is, and then go with that and not care about, here's one of the biggest things that hold people back is they care too much about other people's opinions. Now, I say, you know, in a not so nice way, screw them, screw what they say. Now, I don't mean screw those people, because oftentimes the people who are the harshest critics are the ones who are in your closest circle, who, you know, who say they love you, and they very well may, you know, they may have very good intentions for the things that they tell you and where they try to lead you or guide you to go down, and they may have the best intentions and not realize how much they're hurting you in the process. And so, you know, religion is a big part of that. You know, I believe that for most people, at least in the church that I came from, I think these people love me. I think they really wanted what was best for me. But what they thought was best is that you can't be gay. And so that's, you know, that's where they wanted me to be. That's, you know, they wanted me to be straight like them, without having an understanding of what it means to be gay, or even to be straight for that matter, that this isn't a choice. If it were a choice, this would have been over with many, many years ago, and I would be straight as they come. But it's not a choice. And so they don't understand it. And so, unfortunately, they're speaking from a place where they're not informed properly, but their heart's in the right place. But again, it doesn't matter if their heart's in the right place, is if their advice that they're giving me is hurting me. So it's important to accept who you are and realize the only way you're ever going to be happy is by being yourself, being your authentic self, and what makes you happy. And again, you know, make sure that you're giving yourself the best advice as well. So if I'm, you know, if I'm 200 pounds overweight and I say I love myself, I'm kidding myself. I don't. Now, I can love myself if I accept the fact that I go, yes, I love myself. I know I'm 200 pounds overweight. Here's that list I told you about, the things I don't like about myself. I don't like the fact that I'm healthy. I don't like the fact that I'm 200 pounds overweight. So guess what? Since I love myself, I'm going to start doing the things that are necessary to get that weight down so I can be at a healthy weight. It's not that I need to weigh less to love myself. Like if I was healthy at 200 extra pounds and I was happy, I was truly happy there, then all, you know, I'm all for it. But the fact of the matter is very few people can be that far overweight and be healthy. And not only that, but, you know, even live the kind of lifestyle that they would want to live, because, you know, I keep telling people I'm going to live to be 120, but I said, I want to have not just quantity. I want to have quality. If I live to be 120, I want to be that guy who's out there, you know, climbing, you know, not Mount Everest, but I want to climb some mountain when I'm 120 years old, or, you know, or living the life like Jack LaLanne did when, you know, here's a guy who he lived in his 90s, and the guy for his 80th birthday pulled like 80 rowboats across the English Channel or someplace like that. It's like, that's the kind of life you want to live. You know, that's more important than how long you live, I think, because there's a lot of people who live a long time, but they haven't lived life. You know, they're just sitting there and not enjoying life at all. So that's part of being happy.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. It's completely true. I think you've shared a lot, you know, in terms of your journey, which is amazing. I mean, starting a personal training business at the age of like 14 is pretty incredible. I mean, that's really young. And
I didn't start it then. I just realized that's what I wanted to do then. The first job I got in a gym was when I was 18, because I was like, I knew that's where I wanted to be. But no, I just, at 14, I knew what I wanted to do. But yeah, that would have been a very incredible if I'd started a personal training business at 14. Of course, I don't know who would have listened to a 14.
No, you'd be surprised. I mean, you know, younger generation is becoming so much more savvy at a younger age. Every time I'm seeing younger kids, like, you know, whether it's the technology or they're just learning at a faster pace. But, you know, you also described, you know, some visualization. You're visualizing what your gym looked like. That's pretty impressive. All the details at a young age of, you know, 14 or under the age of 18. And then you ended up owning multiple studios. So, you know, you manifested that through visualizing, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I talk about that a lot to my audience and, you know, the power of visualizing things in details just makes it more, much more powerful, amplifies the energy into existence. And most importantly, feeling how you feel when you're in your gym and, you know, training others and what that looks like and feels like during operations, after operations, and whatever, you know, feelings and images come up for people. So that's amazing, Kurt. So I really enjoyed that, you know, your journey. It's very inspiring and powerful, and your insights and, you know, looking at how to be honest with ourselves and try to, you know, really tap into who we really are. That's where the power lies, is within, and recognize what's the outside forces influencing us to really, really empower ourselves and live in a happy place and really live as opposed to, you know, coasting in a comfort zone. And I think it's Les Brown that says, yeah, it is Les Brown, you know, where there's a dog on a porch and he's sitting on a nail and he's moaning. And he just does this for days and days and days. And someone makes a comment like, you know, why doesn't he get off the nail? And I think it was the dog owner, she's like, because it doesn't hurt enough, you know? So, right. And that is really true when people get stuck in their comfort zones. And then we always hear these stories, people like hit the rock bottom, like whether it's a recovered drug addict or an alcoholic or whatever vice they're using to self-destruct. Once they really, truly hit the rock bottom is when, you know, we hear these stories of inner strength and transformation and people. So, but not everybody has to hit rock bottom to start transforming and realizing the truth of themselves, the truth of life. Yeah, so that's where the power lies. And then start the journey of really loving themselves.
And it takes courage. That's something that I want to make sure that people understand. It takes courage. And oftentimes, fear is what stops people from doing that. And I, you know, one of the things I talk about when I'm talking to a group of people, I tell them a story about how I've been a wrestler for ever since I was a little kid. And even up into just recent years, I was an MMA fighter. I've been doing this for so long. It's just, it's what I love. I absolutely love it. But I wrestled for so many years. And even though I boxed, I learned to box, but I never, ever, like, ever threw punches really in fights. And so, because I was always afraid of getting, I mean, I remember having dreams about getting punched in the face and just being scared to get punched in the face. I had such a fear of getting punched in the face that it prevented me from actually doing boxing as a sport. And so it wasn't until one day I was like, I'm going to face it, my fear. And so I go, you know, I'm going to get hit in the face. I'm going to tell them, throw the punches for my face. And if you hit me, you hit me. And what I found is that the fear I had of what it was going to feel like to get hit in the face was nothing compared. I mean, the actual punch in my face was nothing compared to the fear. It wasn't even close. And even if it were, here's the thing. You will heal. If you get punched in the nose, and even if your nose gets broken, it will heal. But if you run from that psychologically, what that does to you, the damage it does, where you know you're going to carry that fear for the rest of your life, that never heals. It will affect you for the rest of your life. Don't be afraid. Face your fears and go after them. And as you were talking about, get outside of your comfort zone. And, you know, that story that Les tells about the dog. I tell people about, you know, there are people out there who have toothaches, and they will not go to the dentist because they're at least this here, the toothache that they have, it's something that they're used to. It's in their comfort zone. They go, yeah, it's painful, but I can deal with that. But the fear of what's going to happen if they go to the dentist scares them so much that they're willing to stay in pain because at least this is a pain they recognize. It's a pain that they're comfortable with. And you know, and obviously, if they would just go to the dentist, overcome their fear, they could get rid of that pain. But so many people don't do that. One of the things I wanted to say is that, you know, oftentimes people will ask me, well, how do you know when you're happy? You ever think about that? Well, I tell people this, you know, you're happy when you're alone and you can laugh and you can smile by yourself, not put on a laugh and a smile for the crowd, but you're at home and you're all by yourself. And if you get a big grin on your face, like I do, because I sit back and I look at my life and I go, wow, you got a really good life here, you know? and I'm happy, like genuinely happy with my relationships and with my career, with everything that's going on with my podcast, which I love. You know, I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing than talking to people like you who changed what you're doing helps change the world one person at a time. And we need more people like you who have that positivity, who has that mindset that you're helping others to reach that as well. And I applaud you for what you do. So, and so that's what I say. If you're truly happy when you're at home alone, you won't have to try to do it. You'll just smile. I get this stupid grin on my face sometimes. And, you know, my best friend will see me like, what are you grinning about? And I go, I don't know. I'm just happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. If you can smile when you're alone, you're definitely happy because you can generate your own happiness. You can generate your own energy. And that really is where success lives. You know, if you can do that, then, you know, you're really comfortable with, you're really empowered. You're more empowered. You're not coming from a place of lack when you're truly happy with yourself because you know how to create things for yourself. If you can create happiness for yourself, you can generate your own energy. You know what I mean? You're not constantly dependent upon something, you know, living from a place of scarcity and lack. This is where people are constantly dependent upon, you know, comparing themselves to somebody else as a measure of success. You know, this is where bullying takes place, you know, to feel superior, to make one feel inferior. You know, these little silly, ridiculous games when really, truly, they're really hurting themselves anyways in the end. You know, and this is where you're able to attain and reach higher levels of progress because you're recognizing the truth of your existence and existence in itself is it's really, truly we're creating our lives, whether we're aware of it or not, whether we're creating chaos or whether we're creating peace and happiness and success. So, you know, it's really all about once we really truly expand our consciousness, we can really easily get into a place of self-love and generating our own happiness in order to spread that to others on a more unconditional way without having all these conditions attached, which really truly limit us. You know, we're just basically setting ourselves up for disappointment because it's just really in a stupid way of thinking, in my opinion, because it's like, again, you're placing your happiness and your success on others, right? So if you're placing conditions on them, or it's a conditional relationship, right? Oh, if I do this for you, you gotta do this for me, or da, 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 or you're not saying it, but you're expecting it, and then then fights start. It's just so silly to me, and I mean, this topic can really go in depth, what we're talking about. It can go into a thesis, really, as to the domino effect of that particular thinking and how society is kind of promoting it indirectly and covertly through different media institutions. And just the way we operate in society too. We live in a competitive society. So I can understand the default programming there. But you know, at the same time, there's just so much awareness and so much education being spoken around personal development. It still shocks me that as a mass culture, we haven't fully achieved mass awareness in terms of expanding our consciousness yet, which still shocks me. I don't understand that, but you know, it's something that we continuously need to continuously create more awareness around until we're all on board as a society and as a world. So, you know, because this dominoes into like, this is why we have narcissistic personality disorder. And then, you know, and it's just this continuously pattern of reproducing these particular personality disorders. So. Anywho, and this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, to kind of, you know, stop that and create more awareness so that people can stop preying victims into these types of personality disorders, because they're very sophisticated, manipulative personality styles that if you're not educated around, you will easily, you know, be trapped into that psychological abuse that is on a very sophisticated psychological abuse. If one's not educated in this realm, they're, you know, they can be trapped in that without even realizing what's happening to them. So it's, this is why I'm trying to advocate as on many platforms as possible, you know, whether it's blogs, podcasting, you know, videos, soon books, and, you know, more speaking engagements, and, you know, just trying to empower more people as much as possible to, because when they truly understand and they truly love themselves, they're not going to be in those particular relationships. They're going to be empowered to walk away. Because by being in those relationships, whether that's a colleague, you know, the workplace environment, at home, you know, you're just going to, you may become one yourself, you know, you might start thinking, well, you can't beat them, you know. Wait, how's that saying go? You can't beat them. Join them. yeah, you know what I mean? So, and I've seen people change. You know, I can see, like, you know, because I worked in corporate America for a number of years. And of course, there's a lot of that behavior taking place there, very competitive nature. So, you know, I've seen a lot of people exhibit those behavior traits of, like, you know, eat or be eaten type of thing, which is kind of very sociopathic. And I can understand why they adopt those particular, you know, to kind of as a form to in their mind to be able to thrive. And in some cases, maybe they think that in order to survive. But, you know, it's, I just removed myself from that particular environment. So, because
a lot of it has to do with is that they buy into what they're told is supposed to be happiness, and they haven't taken stock of themselves to go, what is really important to me, instead of listening to, you know, these get rich quick schemes and everybody telling you, oh, you have to have money, you have to have this type of house, you have to have this type of car for you to be happy, this amount of money in your bank account for you to be happy, and they buy into it and they never really sit back and ask them what would make me happy. You know, I'd learned a long time ago, I'm not a materialistic guy. Like, I cared less about material things. I love to travel, I love experiences, that's what I love, that's what I do. Those things are important to me because those things bring me happiness. And so I don't buy into the whole nonsense that I have to have X amount of dollars in my bank account or drive a fancy car or, you know, live in a, you know, a 6,000 foot square foot home or something like that. And I think that's, you know, getting back to what you were saying, you know, they have to take stock of themselves as far as, you know, not buying into the nonsense that's out there. And there's a simple way to do that. The simple way is to understand, as you aptly pointed out, that it's your choice. It's what you choose as to whether or not, you know, how your life is going to turn out. And I won't ask you your age, because you're never supposed to ask a lady her age, but I'll ask you, do you know who Johnny Carson was?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Johnny Carson was the most popular talk show host that ever lived. I mean, so much more famous than Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Conan, and all the rest of them combined. He was that famous. He had a guy on his show one time, an old guy, was over 100 years old. And the guy was just a hoot. Like, he was just funny as could be. He just had a great sense of humor. And Johnny asked him, he said, he goes, you just have such a great, you know, outlook on life. He goes, you know, at your age, how did you get to this point to have that? And he said, and his simple answer was this. And I was a kid, and I remember this to this day. He said, Johnny, every morning I wake up, and I can wake up grumpy or I can wake up happy. I choose to be happy. And I realized that what he said so many years ago is now starting to be, you know, is starting to resonate with people, that we have that choice. We have that power, who we're going to listen to, who we're going to allow into our lives. If someone is, you know, if someone in your life is making you miserable or upsetting you, you need to have, like you said, the power to be able to walk away from that. To you know, if someone's toxic in your life, why are you keeping them in your life? If anything is toxic in your life, why would you do that? You're only harming yourself. But no one can do anything to you that you don't allow. And you always have the power. And I think, you know, as you, again, aptly pointed out, there's this awakening, I think, that people are starting to realize this. And it hasn't reached mass yet. But it's because of people like you who do your show that you're getting that message out there. And what you do, again, is so important, because and if you have listeners or viewers who see you and they go, I believe that, you need to get out there and spread that message as well, because someone might not, it may not resonate when Rita says it to them. It might not resonate when I say it to them, but it might resonate to one, you know, to whoever your listener or viewer is and says it, and they go, oh, I get it now. So the more people like us that are out there who put that message out, the better it's going to be, and the faster people will accept it, and the better off our world will be at that point, I think.
I totally agree. There's not enough people. I think more and more people need to get up and speak and write in all types of media platforms around, you know, how to love ourselves. And also too, a big part of my passion is also educating people around narcissistic personality disorder. There's still in the map, you know, still so much people that are just not aware of it. You can fall prey to it in relationships or in any form of relationship, whether that's a working relationship, a family member, a partner, you know. And so, because I feel like it's a real epidemic in our society. You know, if you go on YouTube and type in narcissistic personality disorder, I mean, you're going to see a lot of videos with like billions of hits, you know, and on most of them or a thousand, you know, a lot, you know, they're very popular. And there's more and more forums now about narcissistic personality disorder. I mean, I'm on Clubhouse and people are talking about it there. I mean, it is truly, and I'm happy that it's trending. But there's still more and more information that needs to be distributed because the masses are not fully aware of the disorder. They're just familiar with the term narcissist and they think it's just vanity, but it's so much more than that. So, so I feel me, it's self-love and the narcissistic personality disorder, because I just feel like they kind of go hand in hand. So, but thanks so much for, you know, sharing with us. I learned so much from you today, truly, truly inspiring and motivational. And so if people want to like find out more about you and work with you, where can they find you, Kurt?
You can find my podcast on major platforms. It's the Powers Project podcast. You can also find me on YouTube. You can either look up Kurt Powers or the Powers Project, and you'll find me on YouTube. And also, I have my website, of course, is thepowersproject.com. And then I also have Instagram, and I have Facebook. I have Twitter, but I don't ever use it. I don't like getting wrapped up in all the nonsense that's on there. And normally Instagram is my favorite place, because I can just, you know, like when I get done here, you know, I can talk about being on your show and you know, the great show that we had together and how much fun it was. And so you can go to Instagram, Kurt Powers at Instagram, or Facebook, you'll find me there. And so, and that's about it. I don't have a big social doing, which I probably should, you know, to get my podcast out there more, but I'm working on it. I'm, you know, I'm one of those old guys. So.
Yeah. So do you have a website, Kurt? I didn't catch that. Is there a website that people can find you?
Yes. You can go to thepowersproject.com or kurtpowers.com. It'll take you to the same website.
Okay. So kurtpowers.com. I'm just going to say, Kurt, that's just easier to remember. So that's basically your hub, right? For everything else, like your podcast and your social media, is at kurtpowers.com. Okay, yeah, great. Perfect. I'll have the link included, on the podcast description as well, so people can click on it. So thank you so much, Kurt, for, you know, sharing your time and energy and insights and strategies with us. And again, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your place for stylish yoga leggings, natural soaps, natural organic facial masks, and much more self-care products for women at happybeingwell.com. So Kurt, thank you again so much. Namaste. And I'm sure our audience members really appreciated this episode. And
So I really appreciate it. It was fun to talk with you.
Yeah, I enjoy talking with you too. But thanks, Kurt. Okay, bye.
Bye.